Please to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 2 tonight. And I know I always say this, but I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to serve you at Vision Baptist Church. Grew up here about 15 minutes away from here. Never thought I would be working at a church just 15 minutes away from where I grew up. And for some reason, I always thought California, but no way. And here I am, and I do ask that you keep praying for me, that the Lord will give me wisdom in making the right choices in regards to the future. But Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Yesterday, during chapel, Josiah Matangi, he came to preach for our school chapel, and I went to school with him. And I was telling Bronson, I was telling him, if you go to Bible college, you have to make sure you're just cool with everybody, because you never know who you're going to end up working with or who you're going to be close by. So in Bible college, I never had any enemies, so that's good. And Josiah was a blessing yesterday. It was a blessing to see him. He's a faithful man of God. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll be starting at verse 19 and reading all the way to verse 22. The Bible says this: "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, and whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." The title of my sermon tonight is Christ Our Cornerstone. Is Christ Our Cornerstone? The world is filled with spiritual wickedness and has greatly influenced many Christians. Worldly methods such as self-help and self-love and meditation and this focus on yourself mentality, sin like fornication, adultery, idolatry have become rampant in our churches. And when a Christian lives that lifestyle, what you are doing is you're simply setting those worldly methods as your foundation, when in reality, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that should be our foundation. If you struggle with pornography, if you decide to watch pornography instead of look for the Lord, you're using pornography as your foundation, and you're putting Jesus Christ aside. If you struggle with marijuana, and you decide to use marijuana instead of seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're doing is you're setting marijuana as your foundation. If you struggle with alcohol and you decide to drink instead of pushing alcohol to the side and leaning on the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're doing is you're setting alcohol as your foundation. And if spiritual wickedness affects us Christians, if you trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're in here tonight and you say, "I'm 100% sure that if I were to die today, I would go to heaven," you're a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a child of the King. But if spiritual wickedness affects us as Christians, it will start to affect our churches. And that is because us Christians, we are part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are the church. We meet in a building, but we could meet outside and we could still say we're at church. We are the church. Us Christians, us people, we are the church. We are part of the body of Christ. And that's why it is important that every saved person in here, every born-again Christian in here, has Christ as their chief cornerstone. That word cornerstone, it just simply means the stone which lies at the corner of two walls and unites them. The principal stone which forms the corner of the foundation. When you have a relationship with Christ, when you read your Bible daily and when you pray daily, and you just spend time with the Lord, you are leaning on that cornerstone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but in this chapter, it simply talks about Jews and non-Jews and how there should be no division among them. But then Paul exhorts them and lets them know that they are now together through Christ. In this chapter specifically, Christ has already knocked down that wall. There is no difference between a Jew and a non-Jew anymore because Christ has united them together. And you might say, well, how does this apply to us? How can this part of Scripture apply to us? Now, as I look around through tonight, I see we have Hispanic people. We have African-American people. And we have Asian, white. I mean, we got everything in here. And that's a blessing. Amen. I remember I was coming into church and some car honked at me from the street. And they were like, hey, what kind of church is this? I was like, we're Christian, we're Baptist. The sign's right there. It says it all. It even says we use the King James. And it's crystal clear. And he says, no. I'm talking about, is it a black people church? Is it a white people church? And I was like, well, you know, we got everything here. And so that's a blessing. Amen. But the time I've been here, I've never seen any of us have any problems in regards to race or anything like that. So we can't say that race is dividing us in the church, but there is something spiritually that can divide us in the church, and that's a three-letter word. It starts with S and it ends with N, and that's sin. Sin can bring division in the church, and I won't take long tonight. I only have 3 points for tonight, and I want to start off with the first one that we need to understand. We are to build upon that foundation. Look at verse 20. The Bible says this, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We are to build upon the foundation that has already been laid before us. God used prophets. He used the apostles. He used Jesus Christ himself throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And God has given us the Old and the New Testaments to read and to learn from it. God has given us the whole Bible. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, a very important verse. Verse 16, the Bible says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God has given us the New Testament and the Old Testament. All Scripture, the Bible says. And He's given us the Old Testament. A lot of people, they'll just focus, well, we're in the New Testament now. But He's also given us the Old Testament. And but before I get into that, let's talk about the apostles. We see in verse 20, it first mentions to build upon the foundation of the apostles. God has used the apostles to pave the way for Christianity. And we see the works of the apostles in the book of Acts. We see how they went out preaching the gospel daily. We see how they went from house to house. We see how people were added daily to the church. We see how the apostles got others around them involved. Amen. That's why he says to build our foundation upon what the apostles have done as well. And the apostles are a perfect example to the church. If we are to build ourselves up, if we are to grow spiritually, we ought to learn from people in the Bible as well. And another way to grow spiritually, okay, is to get involved in the house of God. Pastor has been mentioning, every time I'm in here, I always hear him saying, you know, we got position, we got plate, we got work to do. Amen. And nowadays, if you say the word work, people get scared. And they look at you funny, and some people even look at you like if you cussed or something. But, I mean, work is good in the church, amen? And we ought to be involved. We ought to be doing something in the house of God. We are the body of Christ. We are a team. We are we're united through Christ. We should be a part of that. And the apostles, they did great works for the Lord. Just read through Acts. Peter preaching to thousands of people getting saved, people getting added daily to the church. The Bible says they went out daily from house to house. That's biblical, you know, going from house to house, knocking on the door, inviting them to church, and giving them the gospel. And that's a privilege, folks, to be able to serve the Lord like that. And it's very encouraging when you go knock on the house and those people, they'll come to church. I know Brother Mark, I heard they knocked on your door. Is that right, Brother Dante? They knocked on your door. And I was out soul winning with Brother Rogers. And Brother Rogers knocked on Archie's door. And his wife answered the door. And they started coming to church. Amen. Two people here from soul winning, knocking on doors. That's biblical. Amen. They went out daily, the Bible says. And we also see how the apostles, they got others around them in the church. They were getting involved. If you're not involved in your local church, it's time you start getting involved in your local church. And he also says there in verse 20, he mentions the prophets, that we are to build our foundation off the apostles and the prophets. God used prophets in the Old Testament. He has left us their stories so that we can learn from them in many different ways. I love reading the Old Testament. I mean, crazy stuff happens in the Old Testament. You see how God killed thousands of people. You see how King David, when he was in war, and just constantly fighting, he was gruesome. He was a strong leader. And it's like I'm reading a movie. Like if I'm watching a movie sometimes when I'm reading the Old Testament. But God has put those stories in there so we can learn from them. So we can learn from them in many different ways. We see how God used the Moses when he used them to split the Red Sea when Pharaoh was chasing the Israelites. And he wanted to take them down. And God used Moses to split the Red Sea open. That's not a fairy tale, friend. That happened for real. That's in the Bible. That's Bible right there. And we also see how when Elijah, when he prayed for fire to rain down, so that he can prove to Baal and all of his followers that he worshiped the true God. That's not no fairy tale. That's not a fairy tale. That's truth right there. That's Bible. Elijah prayed and fire fell down to prove to them that he was serving the living God. We also see, not only do we have accounts of just what some prophets did in the Bible, but we also have other stories that involve great prophets as well. Just rereading the other day, we have Samuel when he confronted Saul for not doing the job right when he had to go fight the Amalekites. He didn't do the job right. God told him how to do it, what he needed to do. God gave him instructions. He gave King Saul instructions. And Saul, he did it his way. What Saul did, he just basically manipulated into making it look like if he was doing the right thing. God told him, destroy everything. When you fight the Amalekites, destroy everyone, kill the babies, kill all the cattle, the cows, everything. Don't take nothing from their land. Destroy everything. What did Saul do? He kept the best cows. He kept the best horses, the best pigs. He kept the best everything. And then he said, well, I'm gonna give a sacrifice. Right? He was just manipulating the situation. God gave him instructions, but he just wanted to do it his way. He was manipulating the situation. And to me, that's one of my favorite stories. That's one of my favorite lessons. And if you're to read through the Old Testament, you'll find a lot of good lessons there. A lot of people, they'll make mistakes. And if you just read the Old Testament, you probably would have never made that mistake. When Saul did that, he was just manipulating the situation. It's like he was just saying, I didn't lie, I just didn't say the truth. That's just manipulating the situation. Oh, I didn't lie, I just didn't say the truth. that's just a manipulation tactic. That's kind of what like Saul was doing. It's like when I'm out working with the bus kids, I'll hear one of them say a cuss word and I'll confront them. That's what Samuel did when King Saul didn't obey what God told him to do. And Samuel went to confront King Saul. And I mean, King Saul, he still denied it. He didn't want to admit his sin. And I'll go to a bus kid and I'll say, hey, why did you say this cuss word? And I heard them clearly. I'm not old yet. I'm 25. I can hear. Okay? I can hear. And I'll tell them, why did you say that cuss word? And they'll say, no, I didn't say that cuss word. I said this. And they'll say a word that sounds like the cuss word, but it's not a cuss word. They try to manipulate the situation. That's what a kid does, and that's what King Saul did. And God put those stories in there in the Old Testament so that we can read them and we can learn from them. All scripture is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction. Amen? All scripture. Amen. And we also have Jesus Christ himself. We ought to build our foundation upon Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ came to die for our sin. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ came to this world to die on the cross for our sins. And everyone that has placed their trust in him will have a place in heaven. And, Jesus, he came to die for our sins. Jesus Christ himself, that's what the Bible says in verse 20. We ought to build our foundation on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is also the rock. He's the true foundation. He's the cornerstone. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We'll read verses 24 to 27. One of my favorite passages in Matthew. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We have two men here, the wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house on the rock, and that rock represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the sand is a strong foundation. It's not a strong foundation. The Bible says the winds came, the rain came down, and it destroyed the whole house because the foolish man built his house on the sand. A foolish man, for you to understand, a foolish man would be someone that's watching pornography. All right? You're watching pornography. You shouldn't be watching pornography. You're building your house on the sand when you do that. You shouldn't be drinking alcohol. When you're drinking alcohol, you're building your house upon the sand. When you're doing drugs, you're building your house upon the sand. That's foolish, the Bible says. And when you build your house, that house represents yourself. When you build your house upon that sand, when the problems come, when the rain comes down, the Bible says that the foolish man built his house on the sand and it fell. But the wise man that instead of going to pornography, instead of going to alcohol, instead of going to drugs or other sin, they go to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you build yourself on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will bless that. God will bless that. I'm running out of time here. I've ran out of time here. Let's go to point number two. I'll go through this quick. We are to be fitly framed. How are we to be fitly framed? Let's look at verse 21. The Bible says this. And whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. We are to be fitly framed by growing. Grow in our faith to be fitly framed. 2 Peter 3:18. We are to ask God to help us grow. In Luke 17:5, because of time, we won't go there. But they ask Christ to increase their faith. We are to be fitly framed by growing. We are to be fitly framed by keeping a holy temple. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. We're already bought with a price. We are to glorify our bodies. Our bodies represent the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to keep ourselves holy. We are to be fitly framed in the Lord. Are you seeking God wholeheartedly? You won't be fitly framed until you really want to. You have to really have that desire. If you just come to church I don't want to be here. If you come with that kind of attitude, a bad attitude every day, God's not going to be able to do a work in your heart. God's not going to be able to do a work in your heart. You have to really want it. It's tough. During the week, temptation, you got to go to work, you got problems, family problems, relationship problems, money problems. It can be tough. It can be tough. But you got to fight through it. And you got to really want it in your heart and say, I want to be fitly framed in the Lord. I really do want it. I want it. Trying just isn't enough. God wants us to seek Him. Point number three, and I'll finish with this. We are to be builded together, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We are to be builded together. We are to be builded together in one place. If we stick to God, and let me tell you this, God is the place. You don't have to be in church all the time to be spiritual. You don't got to be in that special room in your house. You could do it in the car. God is the place. That's where you want to be. Go towards God. If we stick to God, He's the one that's going to build us up. The Bible says we are builded together in a habitation. We are builded together for God in spirit. We are builded up together in Him for a reason. And that reason is Him. God is the one that receives all honor and glory in everything we do. If we don't do our part as Christians, remember, we are the body of Christ. Okay? We all have a position in here. That's the reality. We have Pastor Schaefer. He's our pastor. A church is supposed to have a pastor. Okay? We have deacons. All right? Mr. Mendez is our deacon. We have an assistant pastor, youth pastor, bus ministry workers. We have ushers. Praise the Lord for Brother Minnemeyer. He's good at what he's done, what he does. God put him there. God is the one that put him there. And every time I'm here, he's one of the first ones there. He's greeting everybody. Praise the Lord for Brother Minamar. He does an amazing job. People that work on the sound booth, the Christian school teachers. What's your position in here tonight? Are you being part of the church? Are you letting sin build that wall, destroy that cornerstone, which should be the Lord Jesus Christ? What's something you need to do different to start taking the Lord Jesus Christ serious? So I'll leave you with this question. Is Christ your cornerstone? Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close our eyes, and I'll ask Pastor Schaefer to come and finish up here.